And now to Fort McCoy, where the Madison Ballet is set to perform the classic Nutcracker Ballet for thousands of Afghan refugees living on the base as they go through resettlement. What do you hope is conveyed through the Nutcracker Ballet experience? How are you supporting refugee families who are resettling in your community this season? It's 800-642-1234. Jonathan Solari is CEO of the Madison Ballet, which was founded in 1981. Jonathan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, tell us the story. How did this come together that your resident dancers would be performing this weekend at Fort McCoy?
Well, we were reading the news of Fort McCoy being open up to these families. And when I heard that of, at the time, 13,000 people there, more than half of them were under 18, half of them were children. I'm recently a father myself, and I thought, you know, this liminal space, this difficult time, what can I do to bring some joy, and what can this organization do? And the thing we do best is dance. Mm. So this is our offering, our opportunity to welcome these folks and provide some kind of distraction from the day-to-day as they wait to begin the next chapter of their lives.
What are the emotions like for your cast and crew?
I think at this point, it's general excitement. Hmm. It is just a sort of thrilled anticipation beyond the implications of performing for this audience. This is also the first time that this choreography is being performed for the Nutcracker. So it's new to our dancers as well. This is the first time they're going to have a chance to share it with any audience. In addition to that, there's just a lot of unknowns. And coming out of the pandemic, having been kept away from any audience for 2 years, mm-hmm. it's just a lot of good energy. So we leave, actually, after this phone call, I'll be getting in my car, driving to Fort McCoy, meeting our crew to unload costumes and sets and lights and start work transforming this Army warehouse into a stage, a winter wonderland.
Wow. What a story. Yeah. You know, I thought it was really interesting that your outreach at Fort McCoy is really part of the fabric of your organization, the dance company founded 40 years ago by a Hungarian refugee. Can you give us a bit more of this history and how you're reaching into the community?
Well, I think that Madison Ballet considers its mission to serve our community. And we happen to do that through dance. First and foremost, we're a community organization with really excellent professional dancers and really excellent education programs. So that's been true for the last 40 years through all of the different artistic leaders and amazing dancers that have come through our company. And we've continuously embraced that. And as we're in our 40th anniversary season, we looked back and said, okay, well, who are we? What are we doing? And what more can we do? So some of the work that we've been doing has been partnering with local nonprofits to make sure that people who are experiencing homelessness or incarceration, families still have an opportunity to come see the full production of the Nutcracker at the Overture Center. And we also have educational programs that partner with other community organizations that have a curriculum that's viewed through the lens of movement through restorative justice. There are all sorts of programs that work to make this art form accessible to everyone. And this is a big undertaking, but it is in line with that idea around our work.
That's interesting you say that. I'm wondering, how do art and dance affect how we see our society and how we see these really complex, difficult issues like systemic racism?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think art at large allows people something outside of themselves to view their situation. I've always felt that way. I was a theater artist for years and used my work to try to spark conversations for for real change and positive impact in people's lives. I think that this is in that tradition. I think that dance particularly has an ability to transcend cultural barriers because we all have bodies. Hmm. We all are trying to negotiate how we use them with and against each other and in space. I mean, we tell stories through our movement. It has an opportunity that other art forms just don't, particularly in a situation like this, where we're performing for an audience that speaks three different languages, all different from our performers.
You touched on this briefly, Jonathan, but, you know, the Nutcracker being such a spectacle, it's the little kids that really steal my heart every time, the little dancers. How will your set look at Fort McCoy?
It's a very good question. I may go to find out myself when we install it. I mean, we have an incredible team. Our production crew is, the best in the state, certainly. And they are doing all that they can to bring the full production, all of the magic that you would experience at the Overture Center, to this military base, to this warehouse. So we're trucking in a portable stage that we're assembling today. We are building ground supports for all of our lighting equipment. All of our costumes are coming in. It is going to be a spectacle still, because that we take pride in our work and we want to give the best possible experience to this audience.
We have Jonathan Solari with us, leads the Madison Ballet, which is performing the second act of the Nutcracker Ballet Friday and Saturday at Fort McCoy. Have you ever had a part in the Nutcracker? Have you ever put it on for an audience that wasn't familiar with the classic fairy tale? What was that experience like for you? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jonathan Solari here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Madison Ballet is set to perform the second act of the Nutcracker on a specially constructed stage, as we've been talking about, inside a storage warehouse at Fort McCoy this weekend, also providing dance lessons with help from translators. Thousands of Afghan refugees are living at the base as part of their ongoing resettlement process. What do you want the audience to take away from the ballet? What do you think about art and dance as a means to help heal, as a universal language? Join in, 800-642-1234. Jonathan Solari is CEO of the Madison Ballet with us for about 9 more minutes. Jonathan, the Nutcracker has become increasingly problematic for ballet companies that are taking a stand against racism, trying to diversify their dance companies. It perpetuates stereotypes, especially in the Chinese tea scene in Act Two. What is your ballet company doing differently? How is it taking on this reality?
Yeah, I really appreciate the momentum that this national and international conversation is having around how we can make the Nutcracker better. Fortunately, this year, as I mentioned earlier, are premiering a new version, new choreography for the show. So that gives us an opportunity to re-examine and reimagine those pieces that you had mentioned. And the best way to correct those wrongs of the past is to bring in the people that we're otherwise talking about. And that's what we chose to do here. So Sarah Stewart Schumann, who is our incredible artistic director, is choreographing the bulk of this production, but she has brought in a number of collaborators, mostly from our company, to give them opportunities to choreograph and also advise and represent the cultures that the show represents. So Yuja Sun, who is Taiwanese, has been taking on what is commonly referred to as the Chinese section, as you had talked about, with Michelle Ramos from our company, who's been looking at the Spanish. The idea has been bring people in and start the conversation at the creation of the segments rather than trying to put something on top of it.
What about costumes? What about makeup?
Well, costumes and makeup are certainly a part of it. It's how we tell the story and how we represent different cultures. Karen Brown Larimore is our costume designer. She's brilliant, and she's also very aware of the problems of the past. So, you know, we have used some of the costumes from previous productions, but we kept a keen eye on these segments in particular to make sure that we were treating all cultures that are represented with the respect that they deserve, and that each one of these segments is truly a celebration of that culture.
Looking at the pandemic, layering this pandemic onto putting on a live performance in front of a live audience gathered in one place, how are you working to keep your dancers and stage crew safe? What are your pandemic protocols?
Well, for this production in particular here at Fort McCoy, we have the benefit of working very closely with the Department of Defense and everyone at Fort McCoy, Homeland Security, who all take everyone's safety very seriously. And that is on a number of different fronts. So everyone is vaccinated on this base. The audience will be masked throughout. You know, we've just done the very best that we can. From the first moment that we started navigating how we would continue to do our work through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, our number one priority is always going to be the safety of our audience and the safety of our colleagues. So that hasn't changed since March of 2020.
I've seen some pictures of Nutcrackers incorporating their costumes with masks. What does that look like? How are you doing with dancers and mask wearing?
So our dancers are not planning on being masked except for those community cast members that mm-hmm. are more comfortable that way. That's certainly an option of them. And again, my tip of my hat to Karen Brown Larimore, who is our costume designer, who is willing to work with those individuals to make sure that their masks are as appropriate and integrated into their costumes as possible. So it gives you an opportunity to add another piece to the puzzle.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jonathan Solari, who's CEO of the Madison Ballet, the dance company preparing to perform Act Two of the Nutcracker for refugee families staying at Fort McCoy. You can join into the conversation at 800-642-1234. Jonathan, many people in your audience will not be familiar at all with the Nutcracker. How do you, how do you make it a gateway? How do you inform the story when there is such a language barrier?
You know, that's part of the joy of all of this. And again, the benefit of working with all of the different departments of government who have been so helpful to us. We actually had our traditional study guide and curriculum, kind of 12-page document that we typically give to schools who are going to attend a performance of the Nutcracker at Overture, and their translators, the product's beautiful, had translated it into Dari, Pashto, and Farsi. Mm-hmm. So that was distributed weeks ago to be able to give people an understanding of what's this story? How do I watch dance? How do these things come together? What does each bit of symbolism in the movement of a body mean? So everyone has been given an opportunity to view that. And for our pre-literate audience, they actually did audio recordings, which are accessible on people's phones. So kids could listen to all of this information for context on the story and also a little bit about what they'll be experiencing in the dance classes that we're providing.
We're going to talk about dance classes in just a moment. Let's bring on a caller now. Josh joining us from Madison. Hi, Josh. What is on your mind?
Hi, I'm late to the conversation, so maybe this has been brought up, but how does the Nutcracker translate to the Muslim faith and to the culture of the refugees? Is this something that they recognize, be offended by, celebrate? Just curious about that.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks, Jonathan, Josh. Yes.
We have been working with, again, the Department of Homeland Security, who has a number of cultural advisors on the project. And we're feeling really confident about just being able to provide entertainment and joy to everyone in this population. Not everyone is required to come to this. Tickets have been distributed. And to us, again, it's a type of welcome. This is the work that our organization does, and that's happening, you know, as a tradition across all of America every December. So this is just our way to be able to say, we're here, we see you, we care about you, and you're welcome here.
Tell us about the dance classes that you'll be offering.
The dance classes will be divided over 2 days. We'll offer 6 of them. So there'll be lots of opportunities for little ones to be able to try out moves themselves. We'll have live translation again into those 3 languages. And we'll have groups of 20 to 40 kids for each hour. And they'll experience, you know, basic introductory level dance.
Mm.
So I'm really excited about those in particular because they're such small groups and because we have the translators. Each student will have an opportunity to receive notes from our professional dancers and be able to interact on a more personal level than what will happen later on in the day with the production. Both are beautiful and meaningful, just different.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing, for joining us. I'll let you get on with your big day.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Kate.
Jonathan Solari, CEO of the Madison Ballet. Just ahead, the author of a new book on white privilege joins us to explore what it means to live with this privilege during a time when America is navigating racial injustices, inequities, and inequalities. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.